It is the Drive with Tame Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Kyle's Cubbies getting it done. They're flying the W flag. They got a save, Kyle. There you go. Are you happy? Sweep of the Astros?
Hey, they got a save. Yep. Oh, I'm fired up. They sweep the Astros. They've dealt with all these injuries so far. Justin Steele's made one start of 4 2/3 innings. Seiya Suzuki's been out 2 weeks now. Bellinger's out. 16-9. I mean, I can't possibly complain about that if I tried.
I'm pretty jealous. Pretty jealous, I got to say, even though the Cardinals did get a series win against the D-backs yesterday. So I'll take that. I'll take the little victory when I can get it. But
more so than just winning this game and sweeping the series, Pete Crow Armstrong with the game-winning homer.
How about that?
Fires me up quite a bit.
How about that? We'll talk some more NFL draft as we go along. Also, how about we go in this direction? Because it's always this time of year, you can't go wrong.
When in doubt,
go to the well. It's the go-to pitch. The portal. The portal is popping, Kyle, and some real names hitting today as we're sitting with less than a week to go before the portal window closes. So you got to be in the portal by May 1st. Otherwise, you're not going to the portal. And that used to not apply the last few years, where if you were a grad transfer, the portal window didn't apply to you. You could go in literally at any point after graduating and then be in the portal. Even there was talk of this past offseason going into last season that watch somebody take summer classes and then get their degree and hit the portal in August. And like just the madness that kind of it never really played out that way. I think there were always just like hypothetical scenarios that could happen that didn't ultimately go like in August. Oh, here's a all-conference guy that's available and some team got screwed. But we did see like Cam Spencer, Paul Mulcahy. I think those were like late May portal entries for Rutgers, losing those guys. And then obviously Spencer plays a big role on UConn and goes to the national title game and wins it. But grads have to abide by the same timeline, have to be in by May 1st, which is next Wednesday. And we'll see who all between now and then goes into this portal. And I think today is a good indication that there's another final wave coming. And probably even early next week as you're really up against the deadlines. Maybe some people that are teeter-tottering between. I think for me, usually that last wave is like the NBA draft wave.
Mm-hmm.
So I think guys that are declared for the draft, maybe even planning on staying in the draft, but there's uncertainty like, will I get guaranteed money? Will I be in the first round or slip to the second? Will I be in the early second round where there's probably a two-way or a guaranteed contract versus falling below that? There's more of a risk. I think that those guys who maybe aren't sold on going back to their previous destination if they do go back to school or just to keep all their options open or even just to negotiate. I know that that's another thing, Kyle, that there was a decent amount of speculation during this season, like, hey, you know, you're probably going to see more guys just portal and maybe they're not even thinking about leaving. They just want to put the feet to the fire of the school that they're at as far as NIL goes and fully threaten them to leave type of thing and or just go see what their market's worth. I haven't necessarily seen that. It seems like everybody that's hit the portal is fully intent on leaving and going somewhere else. Maybe you don't need to do that because of how much back channeling and tampering and all this kind of stuff. Oh, by the way, Outkick had something to say about that today. Mm. That was dumb. But maybe you don't have to do that to kind of gauge a number and an interest from the outside. But anywho, what I'm getting at is we're kind of in this final stretch where I think things are going to further amplify and we'll be interesting to see where things go the next couple of days.
Yeah, you'd imagine that. Yeah, if that's true and there's a big NBA draft portal wave, that group of players is obviously going to be pretty darn attractive. If they have NBA draft possibilities and they could come back to college, I think there's going to be some intriguing options. There's some even like blue bloods out there. Like you think about a UConn and how much they're losing and they've landed one transfer so far, Terrace Reed from Michigan. Like you got to imagine that they're going to be involved in some of these. North Carolina's still looking, I know they got RJ Davis back, but they're the team that hasn't landed much in the portal so far, and obviously Kansas has been the one that's done a lot of work, and Kentucky building a brand new roster. Like, there's a lot of these high level programs that are have rosters that are far from complete right now. Illinois, one of them, obviously with four scholarships open and still looking for kind of that star wing go-to guy to pair with some of the other additions they made. It's going to be really interesting here. There's going to be some high level recruitments that are still to take place here, probably into the month of May. I know you're fired up about that.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be really interesting, and a lot of these guys that probably are going to enter the portal over the next 6 days, some of the guys that have recently entered, these are going to be highly sought after pieces that can be like a one or two option on a Final Four caliber team. And so I think it's about to get pretty crazy, and there's going to be some names that are will jump off the page at you, whether Illinois is involved in them or not.
Yeah, things are really going to amplify. I will say what I was hitting on a little bit earlier when we were talking to Mask. With Damask putting out what he did today, and seems like, barring some unforeseen shift, that they're that door is shut, that he's for sure declaring for the draft, moving on with his professional career. That's how it's been put to me. Could he, if he wanted to, like, turn around and sue the NCAA and go into this long deal where you put it to the courts
just
and
move
see.
On, Marcus.
Yeah, I mean, think he will. And I don't blame him for at least putting a waiver request
initial,
in. Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to. I love Marcus. I've done this before. He played 4.5 years of college.
I'm with you.
He doesn't need to play 5.5. Nobody needs to play 5.5. And let's not. We've had enough litigation and court cases determine what is allowed and not allowed in college basketball. We don't need a temporary restraining order against eligibility rules. We don't need it. I don't need to see somebody who's 26, 27 playing college basketball. It doesn't need to happen. I know Marcus would only be like 23 going on 24, whatever. I'm just saying that would be a bridge too far, in my opinion. He had a really good, really, really good career. It finished on a great note. Got to the Elite Eight, was a first team All Big Ten guy. Could he make a ton of NIL money if he came back to school? Yeah. And I get it. I get why he'd try for that. But and I'm not sitting here saying that he is desperate to go sue the NCAA or is going to pursue this too far. I think it's, like you said, completely fair that he submitted a waiver, tried to see what came of it, and it sounds like it's not going to go in his direction, and now he's going to go pursue professional opportunities. So on that note, on Coleman declaring for the draft and saying that he's 100% planning to stay in, it feels like things are moving towards the finish line. For me, selfishly, I'm like, let's get this thing all sorted out and then maybe go on a little vacation or something. I don't know. But anyways, Illinois still does have four spots open. Let's start here where we kind of left off. Benham Rickhouse, one of the guys that Illinois would really like to fill one of those spots with, 6'9" forward, played at Evansville, spent 3 years at NAIA, then went to Evansville last year, played 25 games, battled a little bit of injury, but shot the three at a really high clip, a very skilled forward that can handle the ball a decent amount. I don't know that he's going to be, you know, is his pick and roll stuff, which he played as like a ball screen, ball handler at times for Evansville. Will he do that a lot at Illinois? I don't imagine so. You're not going to see him have as much offense run through him as we saw with Marcus Damask, but I do think that they're similar as far as very skilled with size, not the most athletic, but don't play sped up. They're good IQ passers who can also booty ball you. So I think that's something that you look at him, 6'9", 220, with some size to him, likes to back down in the mid post, and especially when he gets his size advantage. I think Marcus Damask is a great sell if I'm Illinois. I'm showing him a lot of that tape. I'm telling him that Kylan Boswell is a, number one, a very talented point guard, but one that isn't super ball dominant or selfish to where he has to have every possession run through him. Everything has to be off ball if you're not a point guard. With Kylan, he has experience at Arizona, having played alongside Caleb Love, having played alongside Courtney Ramey, Kirk Kariza. And with the way Illinois ran their offense last year, there was multi-positional playmaking. So I think that they could say, look, I'm Rickhouse, you're an unreal off-ball shooter, and we're going to want to maximize that and use guys going downhill in transition to find you for catch and shoot, but also we want to give you a chance to showcase your abilities off the dribble, back downs. We can highlight you in a number of different ways. Look at what we did with Marcus Damas, a guy from your same league, Valley to first team All Big Ten. I think Illinois has a tremendous sell, and it sounds like they're going to be the last visit. As I understand it right now, he's gone to Louisville, was just at Villanova, and now he's in town starting his visit today at Illinois.
I think he's super intriguing offensively. I think you're going to need a versatile type of wing type. I mean, I know they're probably going to be in the market more than just him, but you kind of look at how this roster shapes up right now, and you're obviously going to be in the market for another front court piece, and you're probably going to be interested in a backcourt option to go along with Dre Gibbs, Lawhorn, and Kylan Boswell. But you look on the wing, and Illinois is pretty bare right now. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Hamrickas gives you some versatility. He can play the three. He could play the four in some lineups, but he's just a guy that's going to help you space the floor, shoot. He has more to his offensive game than that. Like, I think you look at a guy like, take Jake Davis, for example, and you're bringing him in to make shots, and that's about it. And I'm not saying he can't do more down the line, but he's a guy that is going to make threes for you. He's a guy you're going to run off some screens, try to get him some three-point shots. He's going to give you a similar skill set to what Luke Goody gave you, who was a useful player, but you know he kind of did one thing on offense. Hamrickas looks like a guy who's capable of, if Brad Underwood kind of does put him on that Marcus Damask plan, so to speak. They're not the same player, but you know, I don't think Hamrickas has the quite the booty ball craftiness, mid range, around the rim game that Damask does. But my point being that you can put him in some offensive action, you can put him in some of those isolation situations, and he can score. He's got a pretty deep bag from what I've seen offensively. He's more than just a guy who's going to spot up and make threes. He can do that. I think that's his floor when you're projecting a guy that moves up a level. At the very least, he's going to come in and probably make a high clip of threes for you. But I think that there's more there, especially as you're trying to figure out, well, you know, who's our go-to guy offensively? How are we going to score losing what you lost in Shannon and Damask and Hawkins, your top three scoring options? I think he gives you some upside to where maybe it's not just a guy who's going to be a total role player and just sit in the corner and make shots, which he can do. But I think Brad Underwood probably views him as a guy that he's going to get creative with offensively and kind of fits the mold of a guy who can do some different things in that booty ball kind of offense. I don't know what he is as a passer. Is he a guy that can pass it a little bit?
I think some. I don't know that his assist numbers were bad last. It's about 2 assists a game, so he's not allergic to it.
That's good.
I think some of his tape is shown, especially ball in the hand. Again, he came off some more ball screens at Evansville than he will probably at Illinois, but just some feel of hitting a rolling big man, or just a willingness to share it and kind of anticipating where the defense is going to be. I think that one of the things that I did feel like was a parallel, and it's easier to say watching his Evansville tape, because Marcus really showed it at a Big Ten level against Big Ten athleticism, against teams that were scheming for him. But Marcus was somebody that, as Brad said over and over again, you couldn't really make him too uncomfortable. Like there were defenders that got into him, picked his pocket, and he had some turnovers at times. But on the whole, he was someone that just played at his pace. And I feel like that's what Hamrickas does, is that he just seems, in what I've watched, to be under control, to not be – he's not a twitchy guy, but he's just smooth and knows what he wants to do with the ball and can execute it, at least so far, against the competition that he's played.
It is interesting, because when this name first kind of was on the radar, I didn't really know what to expect. I hadn't heard of him before. I'm like, okay, guy at Evansville averaged, 14, 15 a game. But then you look at Louisville really wants him. Mm-hmm. Villanova really wants him. Mm-hmm. Wasn't Indiana involved before they've gotten a couple other guys?
Really, I think Balo changed it for Indiana.
And he's from Indiana, right?
Yeah, yep. Indiana liked him a decent amount, I know that for sure.
So it's pretty obvious how the rest of the country views him as a piece that can help a high major contending team. So I think I'm intrigued. This to me has probably the most offensive upside of anybody that Illinois would have gotten so far. I guess Boswell probably and Kerry Booth too. I'm not trying to, you know, put anyone else down to prop Humricus up. I'm just I think you see what DeMass did last year. You see the way that Brad Underwood found what worked for him and allowed his offensive game, which was really intriguing coming in, to be the best it could be and translate to the high major level. I'd be very interested to see what Brad Underwood could do with a guy like Humrickhouse, and I think he could be one of those guys in this portal cycle like DeMasco was last year that flies under the radar when people are projecting only preseason. They're saying, all right, Humrickhouse will be the sixth man, and he'll, you know, make some shots and average 6 points a game. All of a sudden, he's averaging double figures, and he's an all Big Ten honorable mention or something. Like, I think that could be in his future. That's probably the high end of what, you know, when you look at the potential outcomes. But I bottom line, I'm intrigued. If Illinois lands him, I would be very happy with that. At the very least, you know, you're going to get a high-level shooter, which this roster needs. But I think Brad Underwood has something up his sleeve here for Humrickhouse.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the Valley's reputation, it's a one-year sample size, and we'll see how it goes. Every player is different, and it depends on the fit, depends on the skill set. But last year, so not this past season, the year before that, there were four all-Valley first-teamers. I wrote about this in my article today. They could come back to school. You had Tucker DeVries, who went back to Drake to play for his dad. You had Marcus DeMask go to the Big Ten. You had Rink Mast go to the Big Ten. And you had Ben Cricke go to the Big Ten. Those were three pretty good players, especially the first two. Cricke was decent at Iowa. I don't think he was bad. I don't think he was great. But Rink Mast was really, really good for Nebraska, like in terms of what they needed, and being a big man that could stretch it, could score it inside, and allow them to have a season where they're in the NCAA tournament with not a lot of expectation around them going in. Obviously, Marcus DeMask blew everybody out of the water with what he showed. So the Valley was great to the Big Ten. That's not even mentioning Lance Jones, who's a third-teamer, goes to Purdue and plays on a team that gets the national title game and provides shot-making, good defender, ability to provide some athleticism, a little bit different build than obviously Fletcher Lawyer. So that league's been good to the Big Ten in a one-year sample size. We'll see what it looks like going forward, but I wouldn't be scared of that translating based on what we saw last year.
Just get me a Missouri Valley pipeline going for Illinois here. Every year you just make yourself the team that every Valley transfer wants to go to. You got Marcus DeMask's legacy extends 10 years in Illinois.
That'd be awesome.
Churns out Missouri Valley all Big Ten guys every year. I'd take that.
No doubt.
And you got to imagine, though, like you said, just to begin the whole thing, the DeMask sell is part of it. And I know it doesn't really matter what conference you're coming from, but like if you're Humrickhouse, you got to look and be like, this is a guy who played in my league last year, put up similar numbers that I put up last the year before he got to Illinois, and look at what he did. Illinois probably got to be pretty attractive to a lot of these guys.
I would think
so. In terms of just making that next jump into the next level and being put in an offensive situation that is tailored to you and allows you to flourish at that level.
Well, and that's what he talked to Pigs.com, which is the Indiana site for 24/7, back when Indiana was still in the mix. And one of the things he talked about in terms of a big factor for him was the play style, something that was going to allow him to show his ultimate goal, as everybody is to play in the NBA and to kind of have something that emulates the NBA style of play, or just something that would show the next level what he needs to show and to continue to hone his skills to become a legit NBA prospect as a goal, of course. And I'd say he can't be just a really good pro in general. Of course, shooters, if you can shoot at a high level, then you can find a way there. You do have to play some defense. And that's one question I do have about him as far as translating to the Big Ten. Especially if he plays on the wing. I think that he can defend at the four decently because of his size. And I think another thing for Illinois is if they get a rim protector that can clean up some of the deficiencies maybe he has in foot speed, especially if you get a high-level one like Uyana Onyenso from Kentucky, who's the best shot blocker in the country maybe. So that's another thing to think about, another conversation that we can delve into as far as the portal goes. But, yeah, I mean, Illinois' offense is very – or was, and I would imagine going forward, is going to have very much NBA elements to it. Matchup syncing, mismatches, spacing, play in transition, playmaking from different spots on the floor, and to do some ISO stuff and not be afraid to put the ball in some one-on-one matchups, and whether it's going to be attacking on a drive or posting up in the mid post and then playing out of that stuff. So I think that all, when you have the number three offense in the country last year and you get someone that's so talented and versatile offensively, that should really resonate. Now, I do wonder, admittedly, NIL is going to be an interesting question. Not that Illinois is hurting on that front. You just have a couple of spots left to fill, a big fish to chase on the wing. They need to get a stud on the wing. They need to get a five. I'm not saying it has to be a star in terms of someone that's going to play 25, 30 minutes a game, and maybe Merez doesn't play as much. I don't think you need that. But you do have to make some decisions as you're allocating what you have left in NIL. And anytime Louisville's involved, there's going to be a high dollar figure projected. I had somebody tell me, I'm comfortable. Not saying that this is like, I think people are wondering how much is real about the Louisville money. Like, there's a lot of chatter about high dollar figures. And I fully expect them to be loaded because their fan base, number one, very passionate. Imagine that they are decently flush with cash and very motivated to not be horrible.
You always get that new coach bump after one coach didn't pan out. You hire a fresh new face, and a guy like Pat Kelsey, who said all the right things and is a fiery guy in the press conference and everything, and it's all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of backing there and just a lot of excitement and willingness to support that beginning of the tenure.
And I don't know where I read it, but there was somebody speculating that there was a lot of money drummed up from the boosters, the fan base, to make a huge push for a coach. And maybe with Kelsey, they didn't have to give him as much money, and then could use that money and just throw it into the collective and say, here's a less expensive coach, but a huge NIL budget. So it was said to me, like, anybody that Louisville's serious about, they're offering no less than $500,000. So
is Benham Rickhouse worth that?
I think that's a question to ask. I don't think Illinois is going to get him at a discount. I don't know if they're going to have to give him $500,000 because they got maybe some other sells that could sway his way. But that's one thing that you're dealing with right now, especially with Louisville when they're in the mix.
I'm done with Louisville. I'm done. After Humrickhouse, hopefully Illinois comes out on top of that one. If Louisville's involved, just move on. I'm done with them.
Yep. Nova also involved.
It's not even really like Louisville's beating us for a bunch of transfers. It's just like
they're involved with everybody.
I'm sick of them. It's every guy. It's he's visiting Louisville this weekend, and they've got a huge NIL offer on the table. I'm done.
They didn't actually get Dante Maddox, but that was thought to be for a while your biggest competition. And yes, anytime that they come up, it's all their NIL bag is crazy. Speaking of which, they just got Chucky Hepburn.
Yeah, that's a big NIL bag for him. I don't see it with Chucky.
Yeah. I wonder what they get. Maybe it was $500,000 got the job done.
I'm shocked that he didn't go to Creighton. I mean, I would imagine that if he hit the portal, he would want to go back home there, but Louisville, man, that bag speaks for itself.
I guess so. They got a lot of pieces to assemble there. We can talk more portal. We'll talk more NFL draft before we get out of here. Do we have to catch a break? Weigh in on the text line, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line and Link text line. But before we do that, I got to do a little bit of work. Tell you about Busey. They have financial advice for college graduates. Graduation coming up here in the coming weeks. Your dedication to education is paying off. Your college diploma is in hand. And as you enter the workforce, prepare for your financial future with Busey. Exercise smart spending habits. Live within your means. Think before making major purchases. And don't max out credit cards. Instead, focus on a couple of things that Busey suggests. Building an emergency fund, paying down debt, and saving for retirement. Participate in your company's 401k plan and contribute as much as you can. Create a budget with complimentary resources and expert advice with Busey. You can visit their blog called Money Matters on Busey.com. They have financial calculators and also financial assessments to help you evaluate your options to your money questions. Their experts can help you on a variety of things: outcome-based investing, retirement, estate planning, tax planning, risk management. Let Busey put you on the path to success. Go to Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations. Busey, member FDIC.
Racing, racing, racing. Farmer City Raceway with this week's Friday Night Lights, spotlighting Nutrien's late models and Dreyer's top rods mods. Plus the full show with the gates opening at 4, hot laps at 6:30. General admission $15, veterans 10, kids under 12 free. Visit FarmerCityRacing.com for details. You'll buy the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Escape the ordinary and embark on an unforgettable adventure with Stevie J Travel with Larry and Elena Kemper. Hi, it's Stevie J. Picture yourself aboard a small yacht departing from the enchanting city of Dubrovnik, Croatia. As the gentle breeze carries the scent of the Adriatic Sea, you'll set sail toward the captivating Dalmatian islands. Over 10 magnificent days, immerse yourself in the Mediterranean lifestyle where every moment is a celebration of beauty and tranquility. Explore hidden coves, swim in crystal clear waters, and stroll through seaside villages. With Stevie J Travel, every detail is taken care of, from luxurious accommodations to delectable onboard dining experiences. Relax on deck as the sun dips below the horizon, painting the sky in hues of orange and pink. This is more than a cruise. It's a journey of discovery and delight. Escape to paradise with Stevie J Travel. Visit StevieJTravel.com. That's StevieJAYTravel.com for details. Your Mediterranean adventure awaits.
Hi, I'm Makaira Cook, and I'm here to talk about Pacifica on Green.
So what do you like about this place and living here?
Oh, I love this place. It's such a luxury apartment. There's plenty of amenities. There's a very nice gym, and the rooms are awesome. So I just love it here.
Every floor has something fun. Do you go to the game room?
Yes, I go to the game room some nights, and I'll play with my friends. We'll play Mario Kart a lot, and my mom really likes the Pac-Man.
Live the way you've always wanted. Visit them at PacificaOnGreen.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. There's no better time to update your home. And here's a big plus. It's all for less at the Karastan Rebate Plus event. Through Sunday only, save on beautiful Karastan carpets and floors with rebates up to $1,000. Save on Karastan's luxurious carpets and durable luxury vinyl. Karastan Luxcraft is designed with long-lasting materials that resist water, scratches, and dents. Plus, get a bonus free labor credit on every carpet and floor. For every 100 square feet of flooring material purchased, receive a $50 instant labor credit. Plus, get instant rebates on all furniture, rugs, and accessories. Save $250 on every $1,000 you spend. And buy it all with free financing for 3 years. Subject to credit approval, see store for details. Through Sunday only, the Karastan Rebate Plus event at Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Come home to Carpet Weavers.
The average American throws away almost 5 pounds of trash per day, half which ends up in a landfill. At Two Men and a Junk Truck, when we pick up your unwanted furniture, appliances, trash, and office equipment, we make it a priority to divert those items from your local landfill. Two Men and a Junk Truck, looking for partners that share our vision of environmental responsibility. If you and your organization can reuse, upcycle, recycle some of these items, we would love to work with you. Contact us at twomenandajunktruck.com. We want to make room for what matters most.
Introducing Logic Co-working, where productivity meets comfort. elevate your work experience at the best coworker facility in the area. With state-of-the-art amenities, high-speed internet, and a vibrant community, Logic Coworking is your ideal workplace. Enjoy flexible plans, ergonomic workspaces, and collaborative environments. Your perfect workspace is waiting for you, because at Logic Coworking, they're not just coworkers, they're collaborators. Visit logic.work for details.
Here's another home improvement insight from Kramer Siding and Window, a proud member of Prairie Home Alliance. A new front door can instantly upgrade the look of your home and make it more energy efficient. The Kramer Siding and Window team can also install French doors to your deck or patio, welcoming the outside in, or storm doors for an extra layer of protection against the elements. The estimate is free, financing is available, and the business is local. Schedule your beautiful new door today and save 25%. Call us, click on KramerSiding.com, or visit the showroom in Champaign.
Pia's is open. Catch all of your favorite MLB games on their big screens. Root on your favorite team wearing your Cubby Blue or your Cardinal Red. 1609 West Springfield in Champaign. Pia's offers not only a huge outdoor seating area, but indoor seating as well. Enjoy daily specials. It's the home of the Slugger Burger with buckets of beer and wings. Experience food, drinks, and fun at one of Champaign's best sports bars near Springfield and Madison, Champaign. Open 7 days a week. It's Pia's.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Want to get to a couple of texts here. 651 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Creighton might be scrambling for some NIL cash. Smoke around Kalkbrenner entering the portal, looking for a bag. There was talk of him last year potentially going in. He never did. I don't know if he'll do it this year or not.
Rim-protecting center, you say Illinois needs?
Yeah. Yeah. Former Illini target. I liked their spot with him at one point, but that ultimately didn't play out. St. Louis area native. And, yeah, big-time shot blocker. Put up 17 points, 7.5 rebounds last year, 3 blocks. Doesn't really – obviously doesn't stretch the floor, but inside, efficient score around the basket, can rebound, and definitely contest shots inside at a pretty high – level.
Yeah, would that be the biggest name to hit the portal all offseason? It'd be top five probably. I mean, you got Store's
up there. Omar Balo.
I think Kalkbrenner's better than Balo though.
Right. He's put up better numbers, I believe. Although Balo, I think from a rebounding standpoint, obviously sure. has him, but still defensively different.
That's a guy who's won, what, 2 or 3 straight Big East Player of the Years.
Yeah.
It's been on really good teams. A little bit limited offensively, but, I mean, 17 points a game in the Big East is 17 points a game in the Big East.
Right.
So, yeah, that would be a huge name. That would be one where I'd expect, like, Kentucky and,
of course,
North Carolina to replace Bate. Like, he'd be getting calls from everybody.
No doubt. On that note, a guy that we've had on our air and friend of the show, Isaac Trotter, had a tweet today. He says, every single All Big East player is either in the portal, in the NBA draft, or out of eligibility. Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
Now, they had, Kyle's going to be a big fan of this, they don't have 3 teams for their all-conference.
Oh, God.
They have 2. And there's their first team
72
had
players on each team.
Their first team had 6. Their second team only had 5, and then they had 3 honorable mentions.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's not awful. But on the note of the Big East and portal entries, Kadari Richmond from Seton Hall went in today, and a guard that I enjoyed watching when I caught some Seton Hall last year. I just enjoyed watching that conference. The Big East was really entertaining, and Seton Hall, in particular, they got left out of the field in terms of the NCAA tournament, and that was part of between them and St. John's. There was criticism as far as that goes, but either here nor there, pulled off some upsets, especially at home. He averaged 16 a game, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2-plus steals. I mean, he put up some numbers. The only thing he didn't do last year was shoot the 3 all that well, 27% from 3 after the previous season. I don't know what the volume was. I have to pull this up here. So last year, only about 2 attempts per game, 27%. The year before that, less, you know, closer to 1.5 attempts per game, shot 44% from 3. But that's a really low volume. Not something that he really is looking to do. He's a downhill attacker, physical player, good athlete. And you said dog earlier for Javier Assad. Kadari Richmond is a dog, man. Yeah. Brooklyn, New York product. Will be expected. A lot of people already, I saw Jeff Goodman tweet a picture of Rick Pitino in a white suit that he likes to wear as the guy that will be in the driver's seat to get that one done. But
it's about time for Rick. I feel like I've heard St. John's for like 8 guys and they haven't
gotten
anyone.
Cliff Amore was a big one off the bat. And I don't know where that one's going. I
thought the Dayton shooter, Brea, was going there. That was like the first name that popped up. And then all of a sudden he's got the 5 blue bloods on his top 5. I mean, you can't blame Pitino for that one.
Yeah,
but
right.
That's about time there.
Would you be interested in Kadari Richmond?
He's a point guard, right?
I mean, 5 assists a game, 6'6", 210. Could maybe sell him on.
I mean, you just tell me, would you take Richmond? Yes, I think obviously Illinois is probably going to prioritize other positions, but I would take him. Like you said,
of course.
Just a dog and
first team all
Big East. He's really good and definitely that true point guard type that you can put the ball in his hands and feel great about.
Yeah, I think that Kylan can play with another ball handler, no doubt. Even if it was a primary guy, I think that he obviously coming to Illinois is thinking that he's going to be the number one option to run offense through, that I think he's comfortable playing with another capable ball handler. Not to say that Richmond and him couldn't coexist. I'm not putting out there that Illinois is going to make huge inroads here. Now, Orlando, of course, you talk about a New York guy. That's something that I'm sure that he knows somebody that knows somebody or has some ties or just some ability to get in that one if Illinois wants to make a run and wants to offer up the type of NIL that it would take to get that done. He's not the one that I'm really expecting Illinois to make huge waves with. I think I'm still waiting for the last couple of days here with the portal to see who else goes in. And that's kind of where I'm at with him. He'd be a great player, and he's going to be highly pursued. I'm sure he's going to cost a lot of money. And if he wants to stay on the East Coast and go to St. John's, I would fully understand that one. Would imagine Pitino's going to go heavy at that one, but we'll see. Two names from Miami, Norshad Omir going in there, the leading scorer for the Hurricanes. That was a bad Miami team last year, but he was part of the year before they went to the Final Four, 17-10 last year. Transferred from Arkansas State originally, played against Illinois at the State Farm Center. Good big man that can stretch it. Not very tall, though. I mean, he's kind of like Imani Hansberry, right?
It's crazy. Yeah, you're talking about Imani Hansberry's ceiling, just be that guy. 6'7", but 10 rebounds a game. Great post player.
Yep. Hey, he can step out and shoot the 3 a little bit.
Can he?
35% from 3 last year on 2-plus attempts per game. Not a huge part of his game, but can do it a little bit.
Yeah, I remember going back to that Miami Final Four run 2 years ago, felt like in all these previews of all Miami's matchups, it's like, well, I think they could get eaten alive inside because Omir is going to be giving up some height here. And then he always held his own, and he was the best big man on the floor in a lot of those games. It's just, for all the undersized, smaller 5 men out there, he's about as good as it gets.
6'7", 240.
I would imagine the one limitation for him with the size is that he's probably not much of a rim protector.
Right. About a block a game for someone that played 30-plus minutes per game last year. I think Illinois wants a rim protector, not a skilled 5-man, especially one that can flash a jump shot from the perimeter. We saw Illinois and know how much Brad likes the idea of playing 5 out. Again, this is going to sound like a broken record. I imagine his price tag is very high. He would be, I mean, he's declared for the draft. I don't know where
I
that one.
I did see he has a do not contact tag as well, which means he's already off to somewhere.
Usually, those players know where they're going or already have a short list. or just controlling. It's not an open recruitment, so to speak. So that one will be interesting. Wuga Poplar. I didn't make up that name. That's not a created player on 2K. He was a freshman last year, right? Or was he a sophomore?
No, he was there on that Final Four team as
Okay. That was a mistake by me. But, okay, yep, junior, Philadelphia native, 13 points a game, 38% from three last season. He also goes in the portal today. And he's a high-volume shooter from the outside, like 5.5 attempts from three per game, 38-39%. Shot 38% from three of the year before that. And I've seen some clips of some real athleticism and explosiveness as well. So someone that is going to be highly coveted and a very good shooter with size, 6'5". Another situation I think Illinois kind of waits it out and see what else is there. I wouldn't be surprised to see them on Kadari Richmond's list, but beyond that, I think they're still...
Just make the call if you're Orlando Antigua, right?
No doubt.
You can't not.
No doubt. Yeah, for sure. Would you want Omir, or would you want a 7-footer to block shots?
I mean, again, really good player. Like, if you told me he commits to Illinois tomorrow, I'm not going to be like, oh, shoot, we got Omir. But, no, I think... The other thing, too, is...